Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Hey, so before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, at DJ Cherish the Love. That is love spelled L-U-V, and hashtag using Primary Food or Heritage underscore Radio. And hashtag RevLove. So, welcome, listeners, to the third episode of the second season of Primary Food. And that's so cool. What is primary food exactly? So I learned this really great concept in nutrition school at IIN, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, that the food you eat, you know, the stuff we put in our mouths and chew and enjoy, we consider that secondary food. Primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down and eat. And that's stuff like enjoying music, reading a book, hanging out with friends you actually like, cooking food, a great job, going on tour, like some people I know, creative expression, playing games, exercise. And I'm so glad that I learned this concept because it was the high-quality primary food that I kept in my life while going through chemotherapy last year that kept me happy and healing my cancer. So, listeners, you can call in live and tell us why today you love or hate food. And the number to call in is 718-497-2128. Again, that's 718-497-2128. And one more time in case you just got your pen, 718-497-2128. And I'll repeat it again later. So today's guest, we have Susan Hennigan, a life coach with a focus on the psychology of eating. We're going to talk about the joy of eating. And Susan's been here several times now.
Yeah, regular now.
Repeat offender. So
it's a home base.
This is a home base for Susan. Susan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, babe?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I think, well, that's a lie. I told you I was hangry.
No. Because you haven't been eating.
I didn't have lunch today. I was sorting through a lot of merengue and bachata music for a gig I'm DJing on Saturday at Cipriani, and I had to go through everything to make sure that it was not X-rated.
And then I lectured her about not eating lunch.
And I know better. It's just sometimes, you know, time flies, and before I know it, I'm, on my way to Primary Food at Heritage Radio Network. So I have a few fun food facts for you, Susan.
Throw them at me.
Did you know that the oldest evidence for soup is from 6,000 BC and calls for hippopotamus and sparrow?
As long as it has garlic.
Now, I think that's interesting because it's like the largest animal possible and the smallest animal possible.
I'm thinking of the prep time. Is it marinated hippo?
Now, that's quite a primary food activity, to slay a hippo and prep it and then slay the sparrow. I think that's pretty cool. But not really, actually, because that's horrific. So here's another fact for you. Pringles. Do you eat Pringles? Don't lie.
I have eaten Pringles. I'm not going to say I haven't because I'd be a big fat liar. No, I know. Have known them, have loved them. What about them?
Did you know that Pringles once had a lawsuit against them trying to prove that they weren't actually potato chips?
They're dehydrated potatoes, right?
Well, they're something. They're like masticated potato mush.
Yeah, I'm
formed into flat tacos.
Who was suing them?
Oh, people who are mad.
They were just ticked off
at
the whole
really mad
potato
really
scam.
Mad. Pound cake. Do you eat pound cake?
I do eat pound cake.
Do you eat a lot of it?
Not a lot.
Like a pound at a time?
I don't think you can you eat. You can't really eat a slither of pound cake.
I think I could eat half a pound cake.
Okay, so what is the fact about pound cake?
Pound cake got its name from its original recipe, which called for a pound each of butter,
yes,
eggs, sugar, and flour.
I did know that.
That's
because
disgusting.
I last summer I came to a party where you're supposed to bring food, and I made a pound cake, and someone brought that fact up.
And who would bring that fact up? I thought I was the one with the facts. I'm a little bit jealous.
Because it's New York City and food, and people have to bring up facts and make it not fun anymore.
Here's a fact about corn.
Okay.
An average ear of corn has an even number of rows. Guess how many usually?
Oh, you're giving me math.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 12.
16.
Almost.
Yeah, your corn had some big kernels just now.
I was going to say, I almost won the Price is Right of corn.
Last one for this first half of the show. Most wasabi. You eat wasabi?
I do eat wasabi.
Most wasabi consumed is not real wasabi, but horseradish with green food dye.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, me neither. Because what's really that color? Like Play-Doh? Play-Doh. Just Play-Doh.
Well, just in general, a lot of the food that we're eating nowadays, we're giving it titles that it's not. Mm. And that's pretty common. And particularly foods that are defined as, shall we say, quote-unquote ethnic, is, you know, how do you make it marketable?
By coloring it.
By coloring it. Coloring it and having it just taste like something else.
So speaking of colored, unnatural foods, here's the last one.
Okay.
For now, Central Appalachia's tooth decay problem is referred to as Mountain Dew Mouth because of the beverage's popularity in the region.
One time I was on a flight back from London, and I was with a couple who are coming to visit their offspring who lives here now. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, so what do you look forward to when you come to the States? What do we have to offer? Mountain Dew.
Not even Coca-Cola.
Not even Mountain Dew. Not even is what America had to give the English.
Wow.
And I just felt that's, apologetic and
that's
sad.
That's a little bit tragic. Mm-hmm. That's not a beverage I'm proud of. I am, however, proud of this gargantuan coffee I have in front of me that was gifted to me. It's we're going to talk a little bit about coffee right now. Stumptown Cold Brew Coffee Concentrate I have in my hands right now.
It's about the size of our thigh. I mean,
that's a big coffee.
That's a big big mother load thing of coffee there.
Do you
right
drink
now
coffee?
Yes, I do.
What kind of coffee?
I'm experimenting. I tend to go to various shops that I'm local, like to do. I do the bean thing. I'm snobby. I'm not doing the ground stuff anymore.
Oh, the bean thing. You're grinding your...
I grind it.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about. Like, that's my primary food.
It's coffee.
Activity in the morning.
Okay.
I prep my coffee. I grind the beans.
Yeah.
I do my little French press.
Ooh, the French press is sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I learned how to grind it enough so it's not like muddy coffee. So it's just like just right.
I was given a couple years ago a gift of a coffee maker that grinds the beans for you. And you can even put a timer on it. And have it done for you in the morning.
Yeah, I want
that was
mine
love
to be human.
Yeah, that was love. That was love. Yeah.
I drink my coffee black. I don't put anything in it. I just like it as is, gorgeous the way it is.
Like a little dairy.
A little dairy. Okay. So we were talking last episode about my weight loss. I drink a lot of coffee, actually. I was going through my weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that contributed to it because I was very speeded up. And you and I were talking about how contestants, or winners, actually, mm-hmm, contestants and winners of The Biggest Loser gain their weight back.
Yeah, there was a big piece that hit the Times last week about this, that they're gaining it back almost in dizzying paces, up to a pound a week.
A pound a week.
Yeah.
But they were losing that weight, like a pound a week, weren't they?
They were losing 7 pounds a week. I mean,
how is that possible?
Well, how is that possible? It's insane. I mean, I'm not a fan of the show by any means. First of all, you're having people, the contestants are, I mean, they're used to circus freaks. And there's really my feelings. There's a lack of empathy and sympathy about what they're going through. You know, when they do the weigh-ins, they make the guys take off their shirts. The women are standing there in their bras. It's let's make them feel horrible for the shape that they're in, which right there going, that's already toxic to weight loss. So that's, and also just dehumanizing, and I'm not, So if you're working out 8 to 10 hours a day, which a professional athlete shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And then you are, the calories that they're consuming, it's starvation level. You will lose weight if you do that. But fundamentally, it has nothing to do with long-term weight loss in a lasting way. Your body is going to, your body is going into starvation mode. So when your body is in starvation mode, you're going to hold, it's going to hold on to any calorie coming through. It's trying to keep you alive. So that process of abusing your body, doing physical exercise, which, yeah, half the time these people are vomiting on, it's excruciating. It's nothing to do with pleasure. It has nothing to do with loving their body. It's just going for the burn, going abuse. It's what it is. Telling them that they should be happy that they're having their one or two little strips of turkey bacon. And the
I actually never watched more than two episodes. Was it really like that? Like,
oh yeah,
we're going to give you, like,
and they're all and they're all the products are often what a surprise things that the with commercials. Here's an item by Kraft, and it's really wonderful. And we're going to show you how to cook the item by Kraft. And I'm sure the many products from the fine Kraft family are wonderful, but many of them are highly processed and chemically induced. And if you're looking for weight loss, another thing to kind of look at, consider staying away from. Look for the highest quality food. So anyway, so they're marketing their products by essentially giving these people hardly anything to eat. And another contestant pointed all sorts of aspects of the show that they edit out. They edit out love affairs.
Love affairs.
They don't want people to, they think it's not marketable to have people who are overweight have a sexuality.
Wait. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
The people who edit these shows. Let's get all reality shows are scripted and edited. By fine tooth comb. These are inexpensive programs to produce, and they're encouraging certain aspects. And I don't care what reality show it is, have people in the industry who worked on these things. Even those house building shows, there's a script. Part of the dehumanization of they're trying to make people look rather pathetic. Well, one of the ways to add dignity to a person is to have them love somebody. To have them desire somebody. That's, if you've ever been around somebody who's recently fallen in love, all of a sudden their skin looks good. There's a little bounce in the walk. And
to have them be loved.
Be loved. And here's the other fact. Yes, you're obese and you're desirable. No. That's the whole point of the show. You're repulsive because you're overweight. So if somebody else thinks you're adorable, you're contradicting the message of the program.
That's horrible.
It's wretched. And again, another contradictory factor to what might actually get a person to have long-term weight loss. If you're feeling beautiful, if you're feeling handsome, if you're feeling sexual, if you're feeling desirable, you are far more likely to be bringing health to yourself.
I have to agree with that. I mean, I had lost 100 pounds, and my heaviest was in 2001, and I didn't gain it back because I didn't lose the weight because I hated myself.
No one ever does.
I lost my weight because I started to love myself, and then there was no going back.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like, it made a lot of sense that way. And I think that's what's missing. You know, do they do that? Do they talk about that on the show?
As far as I can see, never. I haven't watched it compulsively. I watched it the first couple of seasons and went, I'm done.
Now, to gain the weight back and more,
yeah,
which many contestants have experienced. I mean, you have the training in the eating psychology. What could be behind that?
Well, they're not talking about the issues of why you would become that size. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times there's brilliant choices. You know, we always shame people who are large about how could you do this? And it's always this, you know, self-discipline and you're lazy. And not at all. It may be an unconscious decision, but there's a choice between why you become a significant sniff in size.
Mm-hmm.
A harsh fact, the institute that I studied at, the Institute of Psychology of Eating, found that almost 80% of women they found who are in the morbidly obese weight range have been sexually abused at some point in their mm-hmm. history. Well, what could be a more brilliant idea? If your body has been sexually violated, to make yourself a larger person.
That's exactly my story. That's exactly what happened to me. So I had experienced trauma, and I created a fat moat.
It's a genius thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things to get about this concept of, in my mindset, about how to read my philosophy of this work. Instead of saying my body is defective because it's not where I think it should be, what are the lessons your body is giving you right now about the size it's at? What can you invest in loving about the condition you're in, as opposed to I will be lovable, acceptable when I get to be a size fill in the blank.
Right.
If we can assume that a significant portion of the cast of that show, and I'm using cast as opposed to contestants because they've been casted, folks, they've been interviewed, they're charming, they're entertaining, have been traumatized at some point in their lives, and no one's talking to them about the trauma.
Hmm.
No one's talking to them about love, self-comfort, why they're eating well past the point of feeling full.
Right.
Talking about the importance of that, that it's been a worthwhile journey, that it's been something to learn from, something to honor about themselves. If you don't have that conversation and they don't do any embracing of that journey, they don't do any work on the internal healing, of course you're going to gain it back.
So what's something you would tell listeners out there who are in a place of, I keep yo-yo dieting,
mm-hmm.
or I know I'm 20, 30 pounds heavier than I should be. I just don't know where to start, aside from starving myself and drinking Diet Coke.
Right. It's individual by individual basis, right? But the yo-yo dieting, I would say stop dieting. Just stop. It doesn't work.
It just
bloody well doesn't work. Denial.
So what does that mean, stop dieting? Because obviously people are going to be like, what are you talking about? Crazy Susan.
Oh, yeah. Nuts. Lock me up.
Lock you up. That doesn't make sense.
Okay. So what we do with dieting in our culture is the concept of eat less, work out more will make me get the shape I'm in. But at the same time, where we know 95% of the times when people do that, they're going to gain it back within a year or two.
Right.
So let's just look at that fact right there. That's why I'm saying it doesn't work. You may initially lose the weight, but here's part of it. Denial never worked with anybody about anything.
Right. Of course.
If you've ever had the experience of looking at somebody and thinking, I shouldn't be having a crush on Bob. I shouldn't be having a crush on Bob. I shouldn't be having, you're going to just keep on thinking about Bob.
Ah, that's how that works.
Yeah. If you keep saying to yourself, if I'm a good person, I will not want cheesecake. I will surpass cheesecake. Cheesecake is going to get to erotic levels of forbidden qualities. Yeah.
And it's already so erotic to begin
with. It's already pretty much, it's like on the top 10 list of sexy foods.
What are your erotic sexy foods? Cheesecake.
Right. Cheesecake. You know what I like? I like texture.
Uh-huh.
I like things that are creamy and have hardness. Like pie to me is evidence there's God in the universe.
What about a runny egg yolk?
With really nice dry toast. Oh, yeah.
The temperature in this room
just
got
really hot. Yeah.
Erotic
I mean, of other erotic foods. I mean, I love... I tend to be a girl who likes either really foods that I would never make in my own home because I don't know how to make them. Like, I love Ethiopian food for that reason. I love texture.
And touching it.
Touching it. Yeah. I love having the... I love that experience of just... my hands are going to be filthy and... But just...
The Do not touch my computer after you eat.
You know. Yeah. I won't touch anything about you. So you hose me down after I've eaten Ethiopian food. But the other part is I love... very traditional. I like a good chicken. I like a good, you know, give me a good soup. Give me a good roast beef. It's nothing, you know, but God, there isn't much food I don't like.
I really like pretzels. The shape is very erotic to me.
You know what my thing with pretzels are? It's a specific comfort thing. My dad did pretzels when I was a kid.
Hard pretzels?
Hard pretzels. Uh-huh. Hard pretzels on Sundays. And the hard pretzel with something creamy. Like a glass of milk. I hardly ever drink milk anymore.
Pretzels and milk. Oh, my God. I just turned my stomach.
I know. I'm just saying. It's a very specific childhood thing, but it's like the salt, the hardness, and the cream. I'm a textured woman.
Well, I actually shouldn't think of pretzels as being erotic because actually I have a fact about pretzels that...
What is your pretzel fact?
Well, they're shaped that way to look like hands praying.
Which is even more perfect that they're erotic to you.
You know...
I did not know that, and now it's going to get think, well, memories of my ex-Catholic father. It's just now getting even weirder.
But they're great. Actually, I'm a soft pretzel person. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're talking about the psychology of, I guess, food control, or what would you call
it?
No,
I don't want to even think control is... That's not the right word. It's actually embrace.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. If you are fully enjoying your food... If you're interacting with your food, meaning you're really tasting it. We're in a culture right now, a large part of my feeling of why so many of us are putting on the weight and we're increasingly doing it, we're not eating our food, meaning we're not tasting it.
Right.
I'm having my lunch in front of the computer. I'm scarfing something while I'm half on my phone. I'm watching something. I'm watching Netflix and I'm eating something.
Mm-hmm.
What I discovered is that when you... sit at a table, and if you can, an attractive table, and with people you like.
Yeah.
And you have conversation. And I was about to burp into the phone. You're just thinking about
burp into the mic.
Just because I was just having this memory. If you're really enjoying your food, meaning you're tasting it, you're really taking it in, you're going to fill up a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So it's not... You have more power than cheesecake. You have more power than this. We're back again here looking at people and eating pizza. These people have more power than their pizza. It's not about food being forbidden. Food is we need it. And it's, to me, food is up there with music and physical touch and conversation.
Yeah, nourishment for sure.
So when, so when you get into... denial again, or control, or willpower. If I hear the people talk about willpower one more time, I'm going to smack them. It's nothing to do with willpower. I lovingly smack them, gently smack them.
This show just got violent.
Yeah.
So you're talking about enjoying food, and that is very much in line with my thoughts of enjoying food in the primary food sense.
There you go.
So let's give some tips on how to enjoy your food setting. So I love placemats.
Love it.
I love my placemats and sitting at a table.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you have a room where you eat in your home, if you're lucky enough, we're New Yorkers, sometimes we don't have that, but have a space it's an overused word, but sacred. That this is your table. Get the computer off the table.
Yeah.
Get the work off the table. Get the cat off the table. Make it your... This is where you feast.
And do not use your laptop for the placemat.
Do not use a laptop.
I wasn't even saying that in jest.
Really?
I have seen this. Yeah. rolled your eyes like...
I've been at family tables where... You know, there was room for four people, and one of the settings was for the laptop. and it's just like that says something so much about our disconnection now. So yeah, turn off the machines. Just it's an hour. It's an hour at most. Put on some music.
At most, what people sit down for an hour to eat these days.
Right, exactly. So maybe a half hour, put on music you love. I'm a person who loves flowers, or you know, be in an environment that feels really good to you. Have things smell good, you know, a little candle, whatever that is for you. I'm not going to get all girly on people and say, no, just get all Martha and Feng Shui and all that. But what feels great to you when you're sitting down in a room at a table? What relaxes you? What makes you, you know?
Do you have favorite cutlery or favorite? Do you have a matching set of plates and bowls and all of that?
I do. But I wanted to say that it was a recent upgrade. I finally looked at so many of the plates I had was from a roommate I had when I was 20 who worked at a retail plate store and stuff, and we both got things on sale, and they were wonderful plates, and thank you, Sharifa, they were wonderful. But they were all pretty dead and chipped and horrible, and I found beautiful things on sale. I'm big on sale girl, on Crate and Barrel, and I completely outfitted myself with things that be a rich blue.
Okay.
Which I'm not a white plate girl. That's just me. You know, you can go white plates. I'm not judging. I'm not a white plate girl.
I think it's important to talk about what you eat your food on. I have a very mismatched, crazy set of everything.
That's great.
But I crave that homogeny.
I've had people now come into my home and tell me how much they love my blue plates and cups and things. Mm. And not to go for other people's approval, but I think they get it that these are another aspect of loving myself and loving my home and loving a meal is my beautiful bowls.
Presentation is very important.
Yeah, I love pottery.
You also mentioned earlier the quality of food.
Yes.
So let's talk about food quality.
This is where I want us to not be judgy-wudgy with a bear. How to put this? I believe in organic food. I believe that is the way of health, and that's my thing. I'm also aware that can raise your grocery bill almost double it. In some cases, if you're doing lots of fruits and vegetables and meats, particularly in the wintertime when things are seasonal. So, and I'm totally aware of people's budgets. Right. So what to look at is getting the highest quality of food you can get in your price range. You define it for you. I can give you ideas for myself, but even I will go, okay, I'm going to get the slightly lower quality of olive oil this time than the really amazing stuff if I'm on a budget.
Right.
And to not be punishing ourselves and to not be making this into rules and regulations. But there is facts. The less hormones that are in your meat, all the way around, the better it's going to be for you.
The less hormones are in you.
Yeah.
Basically.
The less processed your food is. If you are looking to lose weight, those chemicals, even those things that are saying that they're fat for your diet and all the rest of it, the chemicals are fighting with your body. If you get the things that are the highest quality, meaning, again, this is your budget. This is just an example. I make my desserts now as much as possible.
Mm.
I enjoy it.
What kind of desserts?
I'm a big baker.
I have apples for you.
I love it. I think I'm going to be making banana bread soon tonight, maybe tonight, if I have the energy.
I have brown bananas for you.
Awesome. Send them my way.
Do you know why apples float? This is a fact.
Throw it. They're witches?
Because 25% of apples is air.
Okay.
So go on with your dessert.
Part of it is I love baking. And I love the smells of baking and all the rest of that.
The activity.
I love
primary food.
Primary food. I love sharing it with my friends.
Primary food.
All awesome. All primary food. The other thing is I know what's going into it. Some name brand people are putting stuff in that's, if you look at the chemicals in they're listing this. It's going, well, that's there are things here I can't pronounce.
Yeah, of course.
And donuts. And donuts are good and happy things. If you are lucky enough, if you aren't a baker, but you love desserts, if you have a local bakery in your area, get yourself something really delicious that's well made, that's not going to be full of the crap.
Well, let's talk about, you know, budget again.
Yeah.
So I try to buy organic as much as possible.
Yeah.
Obviously, that costs more, but I think I'm worth that. There are people who are going to say, well, you know, that cake is $8 versus the Entenmann's cake, which is $1.49.
Sure.
I mean,
I agree with that conversation. It's an important conversation to have. And you determine what works for you. It's absolutely. Particularly when people start experimenting with certain aspects of their diet, if you want to try being gluten-free or you're trying to eliminate certain aspects of things to see if that works to make you feel better, all of a sudden you're going to Whole Foods. You're going, yeah, you know, there goes my rent.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I would say is look at experiment. Say to yourself, okay, if you do a lot of vegetables, say for a week or two, I'm only going to be buying things from my local farmer's market. I'll give myself free rein of everything else. I won't be, the milk of my coffee will just be the generic milk of my coffee or something like that, whatever the rules are for you. But I get very agitated when people turn this into another thing to feel bad about themselves with their food.
Right.
I believe if you do organic food, it is a way to love yourself. I agree with you. But there are lots of ways to love yourself. If you're, as long as you're getting, you're enjoying your food, you're grateful for your food, you're having fun with it, that's what matters.
Right, of course. That makes it a more healthy experience overall.
Yeah.
So we'll take a little break and get back to some more food facts.
Whoopee.
And loving ourselves with food.
Yay.
And the break song here is called Let's Not by Shadowbox. Really awesome artist here from Brooklyn. We'll be right back on Primary Food. Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market, America's healthiest grocery store with more than 400 locations throughout the United States. Download the Whole Foods Market app on your smartphone for recipes, sales, information, and digital coupons. Or visit WholeFoodsMarket.com to find a store closest to you.
Do you drink milk?
Yes.
Did you know that to add nutrition to milk, juice, and yogurts, to enrich the food with EPA and DHA, omega-3 fatty acids, fish oil has to be added to your milk? So in other words, your milk has fish.
I'm good with that. My eye doctor wants me doing more fish oil.
I like that. I was trying to gross you out, but you're like, I like it.
It takes a lot to gross me out when it comes to food.
Really?
Yeah. You got a good one? You're going to really try?
Oh, let me think. Okay, fruit-flavored snacks are made with the same wax used on cars.
Carnival. Okay, that's kind of vile.
Yeah,
that'll like the fruit roll-up-y type things?
Yeah. And no matter what color Fruit Loop you eat, they all taste the same.
I can prove that. When I was in high school, I worked briefly at a bakery, quality bakery, and my job was to fill in the danishes in the morning. It was a high-end job.
Did you get so sick of danishes after that?
Well,
I would just hate them.
Here's the thing that really got me. The filling was labeled by color, not flavor. There was yellow, there was red, there was orange and purple.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I'm done with Danish pretty much for my whole life, unless I know it's coming from
That's terrible.
That was done.
That's not good quality food. I want good quality food.
Tell me you're
I wanted to say strawberry, not
cherry.
Red.
Yeah, red. Yeah.
Do you remember there was a, I think it was a frozen treat or frozen, it wasn't yogurt. Tasty Delight. Do you remember that place?
Yes. Aren't they still open?
I guess. I don't know. There used to be one near me, but it's gone. And basically, you know, they had all these flavors from coconut to, you know, peanut butter. But everything was basically white, pink, or brown.
Yeah.
And with flavoring.
And that would be a treat for people who were, I remember there was a big dieting thing.
Yes, exactly.
And
so I'm not into that. I want the highest quality food. Like, you know, I want to eat one of these Japanese yubari cantaloupes. Have you heard of these? Well, they have sold at auction for $23,500 a piece. And I bet you they taste like a regular cantaloupe. I'm guessing.
That's just silly.
I have a word for you.
Hand it to me.
Gotta try it again.
Okay.
Arachibutyrophobia.
The fear of fettuccine?
No, it's the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good to, and I hope they have a support group.
Ketchup was used as a medicine in the 1800s to treat diarrhea. Gives me diarrhea.
Yeah, I was going to say that's generally my opposite reaction when I go to a diner.
Or a Chinese food buffet, which three plates of food at a Chinese buffet will net you about 3,000 calories. See, again, so the quality of food, volume.
But
you know,
then again, if you go to your standard, a real home-based Chinese restaurant, I mean, the real stuff, the, you know, sensational food, sensational high-quality food.
Do you know what they call Chinese food in China? Food.
Yeah. Thank you. Tip your waitress.
Yeah. So, when I think about the quality of food that I've been eating in these latter years of my life, mm-hmm. stark difference. And like I said, I find myself to be worth the extra expenditure. The funny thing is, I was thinking earlier on that, you know, if I was going to spend more money on food, I would make it last longer. And no, I probably eat it faster because it's actually good and it has flavor. Because you've had an orange with no flavor before, right? A cheapy orange.
Sadly so, yes.
And then you get these really good organic pieces of fruit where it's like, whoa, there's actual flavor. Or a flavorless banana. It's like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, also, here's the flip side of organic food, and this is, you have to deal with this. Because it's not processed, it doesn't last as long.
Right.
So if you get...
Well, not processed and no pesticides.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to get brown quicker, it's going to age quicker, it's going to invite mold and buggies and things like that if you don't eat it up fast, which is... again, to show sympathy to people who don't want to go there, I totally get that. If you get a hunk of, again, the fine people of Kraft, a big thing of their cheese, it's going to last in your fridge for weeks. Whereas if you go and get an organic thing of farmer's market cheddar cheese, you got about 5 days.
Yeah.
And
but cheese never lasts that long. When I would eat a lot of cheese, it never lasted 5 days.
I'm just putting it out there to show a little kindness to why people aren't going organic.
Yeah. So your thoughts on food consumption are very much based on how much you love yourself.
Yeah. And wanting to develop that feeling and have it grow and how much I want the people in my life to love themselves.
How do you help people turn it around as a coach? You know, if I were to come to you, Cynthia, at almost 300 pounds in the year 2000, mm-hmm. and I were to say something's really awry,
yeah,
and I, you know, don't know where to begin.
Well, you start at the beginning, as Maria von Trapp said. I do a long interview about what you are specifically eating and what are your patterns and what's going on for you. What are the relationships in your life? What are your support systems?
Let's ask Cynthia 2000.
Okay. So what were you eating in the morning?
A lot of cereal, mm-hmm. like at least one bowl.
Were you eating any protein?
No.
Yeah. So right there, that's an easy fix, radio listeners. America tends to have a very carb-based breakfast.
I was all carb.
Yeah. And that's and I, again, totally understand that. Cereal's easy. If you've got a, you know, got to get to work in 20 minutes, you've got kids, you got to get, you know, your cereal is the wonder food for that kind of lifestyle. The problem is your body, if you're waking up in the morning and your body's been essentially, your body's been fasting for 8 to 10 hours, how long you've been sleeping, your body needs nutrition and a range of nutrition. It's that old cliche of it being the most important meal of the day. It's true.
Yeah, I definitely went two bowls easily, two yeah. bowls of cereal.
So highly, the cereal is, again, back to probably highly processed.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of white flour and a lot of white sugar.
Yeah, I had the granolas. I had all the, you know, the crunchy sweet stuff for
yeah.
sure.
Nothing for wrong sure. with sweet stuff, but I'm just saying it's the white stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
And so with that, your body is not, besides just losing weight and things like that, if you're having an entirely carb-based meal, you're not providing yourself energy to keep yourself going throughout the day.
So I had then a snack in between lunch. It was probably some kind of vending food thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, that was probably around like 10:30 or 11. Then I'd have lunch with my coworkers, be like, you know, 12 wings or pizza or anything like that.
So I'm a big believer in snacks. Again, vending food stuff. Most places, vending food stuff means, again, our old friend, white flour, white sugar, a lot of processed chemicals. Looking into what snacks you like. If you found yourself, you're a Snickers bar person, let's go into nuts. Let's go into what you enjoy. Part of this is finding what you enjoy. Not getting into denial, but let's broaden the palate. If you are a person who likes crunchy things, if you're finding out if you like crunchy, if you like sweet, if you, what is it you individually, Cynthia, are eating at that time, or their snacks?
It was definitely sweet, salt, and fatty. So lunch would be a whole lot of that kind of stuff.
So again, this is another little fact here. A lot of times if you're craving sweet beyond an excessive level, it's often a sign that you don't have enough protein in your diet.
Which is what was happening, yeah. Yeah, and then, let's see, after lunch, I would have my brain fog crash at around 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm, because you haven't had enough nutrition.
And then by 3 o'clock, I snacked again. 5 o'clock, I went home. 5, 6 o'clock, went home. Ate a big dinner and then probably snacked again before dinner.
And were you
dinner.
Doing diet sodas and things like that? Good luck.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Of course.
So here's another little fact to put to your lovely listeners. Please get rid of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Please, please, please.
All the diets. Not the diet
the
sodas.
The diet stuff in general. I have a friend who's a visual artist, and she says they have this steel flooring in their studio. They use Diet Coke to clean the floors.
Okay. I met a visual.
Yeah. I met a dentist who says that she can find, she knows when she's looking at a person's mouth that they're a Diet Coke addict.
What does it look like? What do they see?
Your teeth are corroded.
Oof.
And she said, now you got to think about this. Your teeth are the strongest bone in your body. So imagine that stuff going into your organs.
Yeah, now we need to just eat more whole foods, yeah. more simplified, less processed things.
Yeah.
Like the watermelon, Oklahoma's state vegetable.
Nice segue.
State vegetable, fruit, should be fruit, actually. Mm. So that's, you know, basically our big teaching for today is
love yourself, get some high quality food, whatever that is for you. Please stop judging yourself. Please stop dieting. Please stop denying yourself, and please stop hating yourself.
Please love your food.
Love your food.
Please love preparing your food. Please love the people you're eating food with. That makes a big difference.
Huge, huge.
I have to tell you, every time I've eaten a meal in my life with people that I'm not really jiving with, that was probably like a waste of money, a waste of time,
oh,
a waste of calories.
I can't imagine how many potato chips have gone in my mouth when I've been like, can be the hell away from this table.
Because you're crunching to not hear them.
Yeah. You're just numbing it out. You people are horrible. Let me just put this bread in my face. Yeah.
Well, I think if people want to reach out to you to get more advice on the eating psychology aspect of life coaching and more.
Yeah. Probably first and foremost, either catch me on Facebook, SusanHannigan.com. My website is SusanHannigan.com. Very catchy. You can also call me at 845-750-0925. Would love to talk to you.
You heard her. Well, this is the end of our episode. I'm going to go eat something very delicious, clean, and not food-colored.
I'm wonderful.
This has been Cynthia Cherish Mallor, and you've been listening to Primary Food. And before I forget again, let me tell you how to reach out to me. Social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, hashtag using Primary Food, Heritage_Radio. And please come back for more.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.